Late nights, when most of the cities were asleep, a woman was prostituting herself to gain some cash for her and the love of her life. It's not an uncommon tale. It's not even a tale that is expected to have a happy ending. Most people assume the reasons a person becomes a prostitute is not on purpose. But what happens when a prostitute takes back the narrative and decides to kill? Is it self-defense? Do these men deserve to die? In February of 1956, a little girl was born. This little girl was not born of malice. She didn't have hate in her heart. And she had her whole life ahead of her. Then at the age of 4, as this little girl and her brother were left with their alcoholic grandparents, life was never the same. Sexually abused, pregnant at 14, by her grandfather's friend, Eileen Wuornos didn't remember a happy childhood. She was already broken. Hello, this is Caitlin from GBR Life of Crimes. This is a podcast where we talk about women crimes and the psychology behind it. Did they have mental illness? Did they just do it for fun? What caused these women to kill? Continue listening, because this week is about Eileen Wuornos, Monster.
Where'd you get this car?
I just borrowed it. Life is funny. It's also strange how things can be so different than you think.
Eileen Wuornos is well known because of the movie Monster that came out in 2003. Portrayed by Charlize Theron, we watched this woman become a serial killer. But what was her story? Born in Rochester, Michigan, Eileen was left with her grandparents when she was just 4 years old after her mother and father divorced. They were an incredibly young couple, marrying at only 14 and 16 years old. And they divorced before Eileen was even born. It's not hard to understand that a young couple would divorce, but what if mental health had something to do with it? One important piece of information that isn't commonly discussed about Eileen's childhood is that her father was schizophrenic and convicted of sex crimes against children. Eileen didn't know her father at all because he was already in jail when she was born. But when her mother left her and her brother with their maternal grandparents at the ages of 4 and 5, it's not an unexpected move. Even though it was the 50s and people did marry younger than today, to be married at 14 and 16 and then divorced by 16 and 18 was uncommon. And being a single mom, it's not hard to understand why the kids were left with their grandparents at all. Eileen went on to be sexually abused by her grandfather and became sexually involved with her own brother. The sexually active 11-year-old was impregnated by her grandfather's friend, giving birth at the age of 14. When most girls her age were talking about schoolboy crushes, Eileen was putting her son up for adoption. The hardships didn't end there. Her grandmother died shortly after the birth of her son. What was a young girl to do emotionally if the only parent you have left is part of the reason you were so emotionally destroyed? School would be nothing to anyone going through this, and Eileen didn't drop out at this point. It's likely the sexual abuse continued, but Eileen was getting older every day, and likely more defiant. By the age of 15, her grandfather kicked her out of the house. Alone, abused, and emotionally destroyed. This is when Eileen became a true prostitute and a true victim of her childhood. Prostitution is a crime we all know she turned back to eventually. But that's not where her life of crime began. At least that's not how she got caught at first. In 1974, Eileen was 18 years old and had lived on her own for 3 years. Subsequently, when she got caught by getting in trouble with a DUI, disorderly conduct, and firing a .22 caliber pistol, she happened to be in Colorado at the time, far from home. It's not shocking that she didn't appear in court after her charges. She clearly didn't have the need to be innocent and good. This is not to say she didn't want happiness, but from what occurred to her up to this point, how could she take these charges seriously? In 1976, she got in trouble again, but this time it was the assault towards her husband. It was only a 9-week marriage, but she did marry a 69-year-old man in Florida. Given her history of abuse from older men, it's obvious why she would find herself in a marriage with an older man. But the assault towards him? This was likely the beginning of her rage finding its way out. Rage that maybe could have been helped if someone actually tried to help her. Instead of an annulment from her husband, Eileen found out her brother had died from cancer and left her $10,000 from his life insurance. A young girl with nothing since she was 15 years old, probably thought she was completely rich with $10,000. She spent it in just 2 months. Broke and alone, Eileen's life of crime was about to take a turn. In 1981, she was arrested and charged for armed robbery, taking only $35 and a pack of cigarettes. But she did go to jail from 1982 and 1983. A year after her release, she attempted to pass forged checks. And a year after that, she was suspected in the theft of a gun. Year after year, Eileen became a full-fledged criminal, dabbling in car theft, robbery, assault. Then she met the love of her life, Tyria Moore. They met at a bar. Eileen wanted to be the breadwinner for her girlfriend. She was going to make sure that she was taken care of in the ways that Eileen never got to have. So prostitution came back into her life. It was her main method of obtaining money. However, the rage was so built up, and the crimes had escalated so much, it was only a matter of time before a murder happened. Her first victim? His name was Richard Charles Mallory. She stated that he raped her, then he beat her, and sodomized her before she killed him. And while we may never know the true events of this encounter, if this man did do as she claimed, she was again a victim who simply snapped. As she began to kill her victims. But Mr. Mallory, he was a convicted rapist. I believe her. However, her remaining six victims, David Andrew Spears, Charles Edmund Karskaden, Peter Abraham Seams, Troy Eugene Barres, Charles Richard Humphreys, and Walter Gino Antonio were not rapists. Her apprehension occurred when she confessed to her girlfriend Tyria Moore in 1991. At the time, Tyria had already been found by the police, and she agreed to get a confession from Eileen, but only if she could have immunity from prosecution. See, Tyria did know that Eileen could have killed, but the details of the murder were not known to her because she simply did not want to know. She had told Eileen not to tell her so that she would not be an accessory during the serial murders from 1989 to 1990. However, that did not mean Tyria was unaware before setting up Eileen of exactly what was going on. It was stated during the trial that Tyria knew from Eileen's own mouth that Eileen had killed a man. One day, she just came out of the bathroom and said, "Tyria, I killed a man." After that moment, when Tyria found out for sure that Eileen had indeed killed a man, Eileen did say it was out of self-defense. And when Eileen was apprehended, she claimed self-defense on all of the murders, the same way she did to her girlfriend. But this did later change. The interesting part of this stance change on the murders is that it did not come from her guilt. She was simply tired and wanted to die. Eileen had been sentenced to death from her trial, but she was found to be mentally unstable during her trial. She was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder. Yet, she was sentenced to death.
You know, I was just wondering how you're going to be, you know, at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Are you prepared?
I'm prepared. All right, I'm all right with it.
After trying to appeal her death sentence multiple times with the evidence that her first victim, Richard Mallory, was a diagnosed sociopath and convicted rapist, and this evidence was not allowed during her trial, Eileen began to give up on trying to change people's minds, especially about what happened to her. Her last words. "Yes, I would just like to say, I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back. Like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th, like the movie, big mothership and all. I'll be back. I'll be back." Eileen is not back, but she was put to death on October 9th, 2002 at 9:47 a.m. So was she a real serial killer? According to the psychopathy checklist, she had a PCLR score of 32 out of 40. This is a checklist to determine if people are antisocial, and to see if they have interpersonal behaviors. If an individual were to score anything above 25, they were more likely to be diagnosed with psychopathy. To be clear, she was not a sociopath. These are two different illnesses. A sociopath does not have the ability to feel empathy or remorse, but a psychopath does, and they often have a small conscience along with the ability to follow social conventions as it suits them. Wondering how psychopathy and serial killing go hand in hand? Typically, a serial killer is going to have sociopathic and psychopathic traits. But that does not mean they are going to be insane individuals. This means they have the personality traits that are more common in people who kill. Eileen Wuornos had a high enough score on the checklist to determine if she was going to fit the mold of a more traditional serial killer. She did also have borderline personality disorder and antisocial disorder, in addition to a higher score on the PCLR test. But many psychiatrists argue that what she needed was help, not to be put to death. We will never know what could have become of Eileen had she been given the help early enough. But we should all know society did fail this woman. I hope you enjoyed this week of GBR Life of Crimes. Again, this is Caitlin. Next week, Lizzie Borden had an ex. Talk soon.